Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Good to be back. Good to be back in this chair. I guess I was in this chair earlier, but it felt differently, Colfax. I was filling in for Tanner Schwent with NoCo Now, who is out on assignment today, and had to talk about like news and just the stock market. Apparently, that's a big thing now, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, right now.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Dude, what's happening? GameStop's awesome.
It's always been awesome.
It's always
Who
been awesome.
Who didn't love going to GameStop?
Why, yeah, but nowadays people buy it on their computers and their video games. I still like going in.
I was going to say, do you have like, I know you're really into CDs.
And
have
I
you
love like CDs.
Books and books of CDs. Do you have the same for video games?
Yes, but it's getting less because my wife is trying to convert me to buying them on through the Xbox. Although it's cheaper to go in the store.
Is it still?
I think so.
Why?
I don't know.
And what happens when you run out of hard drive space on your Xbox?
You have to delete the games.
And then you just lose it?
Yeah, you got to... You
re-download it if you want it?
You own it, so you can go re-download it, I think.
If you wanted to go back and play it.
Yeah, I think so. But I was joking about this with the show today. I mean, can we bring Blockbuster back now? Where was all this when Blockbuster was going down? Is that not as cool?
Guess not.
I'd be down for that.
There one store?
Didn't we confirm that?
We
it
did.
Was in Minnesota, isn't it?
I don't remember
Michael
where it
should know that. Michael Pete should know that. He's listening. Just
Texas.
Michael Pete, walk by the window and give us a thumbs up or thumbs down if you know that the Blockbuster is in Minnesota somewhere, this lonely little Blockbuster.
Oh, there's a documentary called The Last Blockbuster.
The Last Blockbuster. I would go to that, man. I would make a trip. A trip to go to that. And I'd buy something. I wouldn't even rent it because I'm not coming back. I would buy that.
And lots of candy and stuff.
Do you mess with the... Do you dabble in the stocks?
No,
in the stocks?
Not really.
Not really? So a little bit?
I tried earlier last year and then I'm good.
Can you tell us what you dabbled with? Or you don't want to go there?
Top secret.
I always joke. I'm like, my wife's talking about it. And I'm like, you might as well gamble. You might as well gamble with sports. At least I follow the games and I can at least give you an idea of who the players are and who's out and who might win.
Right.
By the way, I'm 3-1 on Thursday nights, folks.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's winning.
Clippers were 5-point dogs. And all I did was I just went deep into my Thursday night special brain and made a pick. That's all I do. 3-1. And I got a lot of hooligans coming at me today. Because I'm flip-flopping on something. I'm flip-flopping.
Uh-oh.
This isn't an endorsement of Drew Locke. I stand by what I've said about Drew. He is not the franchise quarterback. 3 draft picks, I've thought about it. For Deshaun. And maybe a player? Too steep. Not going there. It's too steep, man. You have your new general manager, George Payton. One of the first things he says is, I believe in building a franchise or a team up through the draft. Hard to do that with 3 first-rounders gone. And first off, it's not like Deshaun's coming here anyway. So do you want to flag that out there? Hey, we made a call and we're willing to make that offer. And then Deshaun's like, no, I don't think so. But now Drew Locke gets wind of that. Like, we can talk about it all day, and it's just going to, like, it's either going to bug Drew Locke or not, but it's not his team. But if he hears that George Payton goes out and is willing to make that offer, and then they get shut down, it's like coming back to, you know, hey, Drew, no, you're good, man. Yeah, we believe in you. I mean, that's going to be rough on a young quarterback's brain.
He's already going to be bad. What does it matter?
Maybe it motivates him?
Maybe.
I'll show you. But get this. Adam Schefter says, he tweeted, Texans GM, before we take a few questions organizationally, we want to reiterate our commitment to Deshaun Watson. We have zero interest in trading the player. Then it's done. There you have it. No more talking about Deshaun Watson. This deal is over. Houston said he's not going anywhere, and I believe him. Now, this thing is far from over. This is like Carson Palmer situation on steroids. Because this is posturing. So what is you watch American Pickers? I've converted you to that a little bit, haven't I? Yeah. So what is I'm not going to sell it price? Yeah, because you always get those. You always go into these like dark caves where these mole people live with their stuff that they've hoarded for years, and it's just a fantastic show. And it's like, hey, how about you trade for that gasoline sign that's sitting in your garage that's covered in dust?
Not for sale.
And I'm not. No way. Mm-mm, better hang on to that one. Okay, how much is not for sale? You couldn't afford it. $5,000 for that sign that has a mouse gnawing in the side of it and it's covered in dust.
Give me $500. Deal.
Deal. I got $500. Let's do that. So that's the thing. That's Houston coming out saying that. There's no way Deshaun ends up staying in Houston. Right? There's no way. Oh, boy. This is a... I believe in building the defense. I believe in getting back to building the defense. And this is what won you Super Bowl. That's what I know. That's what I'm going off of. What won you Super Bowl before was perhaps the greatest assembly of offensive players we've ever seen with John Elway, Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis. I mean, that was a hell of a group. Rod Smith and Eddie Mack. And then a great defense, too. They were great in every area. That's hard to do, especially in today's game. That's difficult, a difficult task. But, you know, you look at it and say, well, how did you win last time? You got to build up on that defense. And I felt like you were closer last year, but you decided to draft two receivers in the first two rounds. This year, I think, okay, you got to do what it takes. Justin Simmons should be priority number one, not Deshaun Watson. Justin Simmons should be priority number one. Get him locked in. I'd like to see Shelby Harris locked in. Alexander Johnson, I don't know, maybe. But you get those priorities taken care of. Then you draft another lockdown corner, and then suddenly you have a decent, you know, your safeties are two of the best in the league, according to Football Focus. Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons, two of the best in the league. And you have Kareem locked up. So you go that route. Get your corner at nine, Patrick Surtain, whatever that might look like. We'll go through that later. You lock that up, and suddenly you have a great defensive backfield. Excellent defense. And again, this is AJ Boye. I don't know what the future holds for him with the Broncos, but he was okay. Bryce Callahan was good when he was on the field. He was good. AJ Boye had his moments, and then he got in trouble, and you know he'll serve the rest of that to start the next season. But so you build that up. And then last time I checked, there's still six other rounds. So you can fill up that linebacker spot. Now you look at it, and Justin Sternad was a guy they drafted last year later in the mid rounds, and he got hurt in training camp. So we didn't even get a chance to see him. They were pretty high on him. Now we don't know what's going to happen with Von Miller, but that does start to secure a few spots. And then if you can do something in free agency or in the draft, you might get this defense along with Vic Fangio. I mean, Vic Fangio's a defensive coach. So let him be great. Let them be the best they can possibly be. I'm going back to my old self, Colfax, my defensive-minded self that started last year, and I've tried to buy in to what they were doing offensively. And I just, listen, other than Deshaun Watson, I don't think I'm there with anybody else. Matt Stafford's going to be 33 on February 7th. I know that's young now in the NFL, but why hasn't he elevated Detroit? You know, I know it's Detroit. Right now, I know it's Denver. Denver doesn't really have this great reputation in 5 years. 5 years is a long time. 5 years is not like, oh, well, last year was a blip. 5 years is not a blip. And so the Broncos don't really have this reputation either. Is Matt Stafford going to walk over here and suddenly the Broncos are a playoff team? Maybe. But it's going to take number nine. It's going to take number nine to get Stafford. And I don't know that I'm there. Couple second rounders, maybe. But I'm not ready for a first round pick for a 33-year-old that has been to the playoffs three times and lost three of those times. So we'll talk about that. We're going to get into all this today. Also, boy, Colfax was doing the depressing thing this morning, going back and watching old Nolan Arenado videos and clips. Well, that's about all you're going to have of him in a Rockies uniform. You remember this, Colfax, about what was it? Was this 2 years ago? Wow, The sun was shining. It was a beautiful day. The birds were chirping. And the Rockies had their guy and a promise of a great future with this statement.
To all my coaches, all my boys, man, I love you guys. I love this group. That's why I committed here. It's because I'm comfortable. It feels right. It feels right with this young group that we have. And, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And believe me, I educated myself a lot on what I really wanted. And I just felt like this was the best thing for me. I love playing with this group. I think we have a great group. I really believe we can win. I wouldn't make this decision if I didn't believe that. I'm just very happy to be here for the long haul. And I'm going to do my best to be a great teammate, be a great leader, and just try to help this team win and be the best third baseman I can be. And so the Rocky fans, I'm not leaving. I just want you guys to know I'm back, and I couldn't be happier to spend my hopefully the rest of my career in Denver. So,
you heard that last part, though. Hopefully. Well, you just signed an 8-year deal. Hopefully. The opt-out. Major League Baseball rumors. Cardinals talking Nolan Arenado trade with the Rockies. So this was coming out from The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal and The Athletic reported this. Arenado, 29, likely would waive his no-trade clause to join the Cardinals and perhaps agree to push back his right to opt out after the 2021 season. The Rockies would love to escape his $199 million guarantee over the next six seasons. Almost certainly would absorb at least one high-priced veteran from the Cardinals while also receiving prospects in the deal. Is Nolan Arenado, I mean, some of you were like, the idea of Nolan being gone? No way. You're out of your mind. This isn't happening. It's probably happening. And we have to come to grips with this. And it's a depressing thing. But I will ask this question, I suppose, Colfax. What has having the best third baseman in baseball done for you? Not a lot.
Some good highlight reels.
Some damn good highlight reels. And listen, baseball's just that kind of sport. Yes, Nolan's a great hitter. He's an amazing third baseman. But the Rockies, they got to figure out the pitching thing. And I don't know. And those of you out there, those naysayers, the hooligans, they're like, they're never going to figure out the pitching thing. It's Colorado. Then what are we doing here? What are we doing? You should be right in line with Dick Monfort when he's, you know, had a couple of stiff ones. And he's like, you know what? I'm wondering if this state even needs a baseball team. You should be right in line with him if you don't think pitching can ever make it go around here. 18 minutes after the hour. I got a couple of spots remaining for our Madden challenge. We're going to be doing this at St. Michael Square inside the NoCo Mobile Gaming trailer. This is going to be amazing. When you see this trailer, it's going to blow your mind. And, of course, thanks to Greeley Bears Pop Warner, they're hooking us up with a PS5. No questions asked. You just got to win the tournament, and you get it. Best of 20. I mean, it's a bracket of 20. And you have a 1 in 20 shot to win a PS5. So I'll be registering somebody for that later on today. 19 minutes after the hour, our Power to Play Sports poll question is up. Can the Rams sweep the Broncos? Going back at it tonight. And everybody we talked to says that game 2 is usually the hardest if you found a way to win game 1. And the hooligans, 57% of you, are saying no. 19 after the hour, busy program coming up. Kelly Lyle will join me at the bottom of the hour. Drew Kreisman, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. And our boy, Cody Rourke, joining us, our Broncos insider. He's going to lay it down for us. Should the Broncos go after Deshaun? Are they even in the running? Or should they load up on the defensive side? We'll be right back.
New coach, new season, new hope. UNC Hoops can be heard right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
K 24 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Tell you guys about, I've been telling you a bit about No Limit Collectibles. They're in the outlet shops in Loveland. And I don't know if I'm speaking to card collectors, current card collectors, like basketball, football, baseball card collectors, or maybe you used to collect and you're thinking, you know what? I'm going to see if I can sell these or trade these for some in-store credit type deal. Talk to them. No Limit Collectibles, man. I mean, they are a huge, huge store in there. It's not like one of these tiny little shops with like 18 things and then that's it. They've got everything in there. I've been asked, okay, is it just local memorabilia or is it like big time, you know, national stuff? Can I get Josh Allen Wyoming stuff? Can I get Patrick Mahomes? They got Jordans in there from almost every year. They've got, you know, just a bunch of different things as far as sports memorabilia. If you are looking to make that man cave look better than it's ever looked, in, or you're just starting it maybe, well, let No Limit Collectibles help you out. Buy, sell, or trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. And if you want to get involved in the show, you text KFKA to that number. And if you're already a part of the text club, you don't need to do any of that. Just let me know what you think. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Is Colorado State going to sweep Boise State? It was a crazy night the other night, man. Wednesday night was a great moment for Colorado State. Probably the best win by Nico Medved. And I think overall, when you look at it, I mean, he's had some big wins before. He's had some huge wins in the past, whether that's Utah State, San Diego State, some nice wins last year, getting to 20 wins. And then the year before that, you know, he was at 11, just getting his feet wet. But that was a marquee victory, perhaps the biggest one. The Broncos were the top. But if you're the Rams now, you're wanting to make a serious push into that at-large bid. If you sweep the Broncos, so then you tie them in the conference, and you're tied for that top. You're tied. It's a three-way tie there. And suddenly you're talking about, okay, maybe this team can be the regular season champs. They've never done it in the Mountain West Conference. Certainly have the pieces to do it, because when you look at the conference, Boise State's 9-1, Utah State 9-2, the Rams 9-2, or 10, Utah State's 10-2, excuse me. And yeah, Colorado State 9-2. If you beat Boise State, you break the tiebreaker there, and then you've got a, you know, you split with Utah State, and you've got a three-way tie, all teams with two conference losses, and Boise State and Utah State still have to play each other down the road. So, and even if you lose tonight, winning one was so huge. That's why I asked David Roddy. David Roddy was a great interview, wasn't he? What a great dude. You know, I every time I asked him something, hey, do you feel relieved? You feel like the pressure's off? No, none of that. And then every time you talked about individual stuff with him, he always went right back to the, no, I'm just proud of my teammates. You know, they move around and they make it possible for me to do these things. He's a guy that literally gets better every game. But I really wanted to see a takeover game by him against Boise State the other night, and that's what it was, man. He had a takeover game. So get this. I mean, even though the Rams win by 22, Boise State is still a 2.5-point favorite tonight on the Rams' home floor. Now, that's only chased half a point. They were 3-point favorites the other night. So even though you beat this team by 22, you're still not quite getting that respect. The only way to do that, do it again. It's 9 o'clock. It's a late one tonight. It's on FS1. But the only way to do that, do it again on national TV. Now, I don't know how many people will be watching. It's a late one. But it is Friday night, Colfax. I'll be watching. You ready for this one?
I'm excited, dude.
You think they sweep them?
I'm going with a yeah. They got the magic on their side.
I got that feeling, man. They looked so much better than the Broncos. So much better. Now, they probably played their best game of the season, maybe. And Boise State might have been perhaps one of their worst. I mean, it's a team averaging 81 points per game. And they scored 56. So, yeah. You do need a few of the. It was a perfect storm to blow them out, but Boise State, they've got the depth. But I'm just, CSU's got some depth, man. It's not just Isaiah Stevens and Roddy. It's at any moment, you can see Tanjay go off. You can see Deshaun Thomas go off, and again, Kendall Moore. one of the more entertaining basketball players to watch. I don't see why not. Could be a big night. A big, big night tonight. Now, again, a programming note. UNC does play Northern Arizona tonight, but because of prior commitments on our end on 1310 KFKA, we will not be able to carry that game tonight. We will carry the game on Sunday afternoon. Pre-game starts at 11:30, and then the tip-off is shortly after noon. So we will get back into the swing of things with UNC, but because of the postponement from last night to tonight, we just weren't able to do it. We do have Highland and Resurrection Christian tonight on Preps Radio, so I'm excited about that one. There is a stream option available. If you want to get involved there, go to 1310kfk.com. There's a banner ad if you scroll down the page, and you can click on the stream banner, and that'll take you to what you need to do to get set up. And you can watch and listen to Clark Johnson broadcast this game tonight. All right, 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk more Colorado State with Kelly Lyle. Don't forget, we're talking to Drew Kreisman. We're getting to some Rockies talk today. I'm not sold anymore on this three. I've been thinking about it. You know, sports show host, I try to stick to my guns, Colfax. But there are times when I sit back and I go, three first rounders. I mean, that's three guys, and George Payton saying, hey, I want to build to the draft. Hard to do that when three first round, three of your best shots at building, might be crapshoot, but you give me three chances at first round, and if George Payton can't land one good player out of those three, then you hired the wrong guy. Put him to the test early. And I'm cool with the quarterback. I'd like a corner. I'd like to build the defense, but I'm cool with the quarterback. We'll talk about all that and more. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here today. It is a jam-packed Friday. A lot to talk about. Nolan Arenado, Deshaun Watson, the never-ending quarterback conversation, Drew Lock. So much to hit, but I'm more interested in this one tonight. It's going to be another late night, but I'm all in. It's Friday night. I'm feeling good. Colorado State, Boise State, game two. I love these little mini series going on. I don't know if the players and coaches do as much. Kelly Lyle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, everything that I've seen and heard from players and coaches, that if you win that game one, it is really difficult, sometimes no matter who you're playing, to come back and win that game two when you look at some of these conferences with those back-to-back situations.
Yeah, I think so, and I think we've seen that over the years in all of college basketball. But you certainly, we used to always talk about if you sweep a team in the regular season and then have to play them in a conference tournament, how tough it is to beat them three times in a year. This is kind of a condensed version of that, because the team that just lost that game, they're really, really, really focused and clued in on what they didn't do right and what they need to do differently to win the second time around. Certainly the team that won the game, you know, they're going to come out with a strategy too, but often that strategy that worked in game one might not be as effective in game two because the opponent is so prepared, so much better prepared for it. So you haven't seen as many sweeps as maybe you would expect in some of these series, and you've seen some unusual upsets.
Kelly, what was it when you look at this? This wasn't just a win. This was a 22-point game. Everything went right for the Rams. A lot of things went wrong for the Broncos. I mean, this is a Boise State team that, last I checked, they were averaging like 81 points per game. They come away with 56. They're a very deep team. Alston ended up with 20 points, but nobody else really had a huge night. What was it? Colorado State defensively just found something in this matchup on Wednesday night.
You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is we've seen this Colorado State team play really, really good defense when it's had to. We certainly saw it during some big comeback wins over San Diego State, at Utah State, and at other times this season when they had to close out a tight game. They've shown the ability to really be able to buckle down and be a very good defensive team. Unfortunately, they've also shown the ability to get lazy on the defensive end and kind of allow people to slip by them. And we've seen that a lot early in games, and that's partly how they built some of those big deficits. I think the biggest difference this time is they came out playing intense on the defensive end from the opening tip. And then on top of that, they also then got into a nice rhythm offensively early and were hitting their shots. And I think when they get that going at whatever point in the game, they're really hard to beat. And when they get that going early, it's really tough for an opponent to overcome. So I think we saw kind of the Rams at their best at the in the first half of that game, and it really kind of set the tone.
Yeah, and well, a lot's been talked about, and again, it's not like it goes away. Boise State's a very deep basketball team, but maybe more should be said about the depth for Colorado State. At least every game, you see a little bit more. Yes, David Roddy's going to be the star. Isaiah Stevens is going to be the star, but you're seeing guys. I go back to the Utah State, one of the Utah State games where they won. It was Deshaun Thomas in a short span, came up with some big points. And then against Boise State, when the Broncos were making a comeback, they get it within five. You see Tanjay go off for a couple of quick buckets, quick threes. So you're starting to see other guys on this floor contribute in a really big way.
Yeah, I think so. And that says a lot about the kind of team that Nico Medved's putting together. There's not really a player that he puts on the floor that can't be a double figure scorer on a given night. And there are a lot of teams that can't say that. There are a lot of teams that kind of have role players that, you know, this guy's our defensive stopper or this guy's our rebounder or whatever. Colorado State, every player that the Rams are putting on the floor right now, at least in their primary rotation, which is going nine men deep, is more than capable of kind of having one of those big nights. We've seen it, you know, Adam Thistlewood hitting the threes and then starting to drive when people guard him better on the 3-point line. We all know what Isaiah Stevens, David Roddy are two of the best players regardless of class or anything else in the Mountain West Conference and are showing it. But Kendall Moore gets his game going, you know. John Tanjay, as you talked about, James Moores at times, Deshaun Thomas, there are a lot, Isaiah Rivera, there are a lot of people that on this team that can kind of light it up if they get hot. And I think that helps tremendously because not everybody's going to be on every single game.
Yeah, no question. You're exactly right. And that's what Boise State's kind of supposed to be. But the Rams did a great job of spreading out that defense. And because my fear was they were going to lock in on Alston or one of the other star players, and then two other guys were going to dominate. And that just wasn't the case. Kelly, now looking at the conference, this is so interesting, man. You have the Rams sitting at third at 9-2 behind Utah State 10-2, Boise State 9-1. If the Rams can pull it off, which again, the Broncos are a favorite tonight. If the Rams can pull this off, this is going to be quite the finish in the conference, especially with Boise State still set to play Utah State. They still have a really tough schedule ahead.
Yeah, and exactly. And we've talked about that a lot this season. Boise State kind of had its toughest games backloaded onto its conference schedule, whereas Colorado State had its hardest games frontloaded. So honestly, if you're going in within a game of, you know, a game of Boise State going in, and that's the team you're worried about going into the home stretch, Colorado State's chances look pretty good because they've got an easier path to that conference regular season title than the Broncos do. Certainly Utah State is very much there in the thick of things, and I think it's probably still too early to rule out San Diego State. Even though they've got three conference losses, they're certainly still a very, very talented team that can come through and make some noise here. So it's going to be a really fun home stretch this season to just kind of see how this all shakes out. But, boy, if the Rams could get a sweep of Boise, that would put them not only in really good shape in the conference race, but it helps with tiebreakers. You couple that with already having a split with San Diego State and Utah State, and you're in very good shape when it comes to various tiebreakers for who the top seed's going to be going into the conference tournament. And given the COVID situation, I mean, there's some talk that conference tournaments might get called off and regular season champs may get those automatic bids in several conferences. I don't think the Mountain West wants to call off its tournament, but there's growing sentiment around the country that some of these conference tournaments may not be played.
And that's a great point, too. Now's the time to really build that resume up for that at-large, because, again, you never know how that regular season is going to finish. But, like we said, I think I talked to you last week, there is kind of this growing idea that there might be three teams out of the conference ultimately getting in. But that does change a bit, right, Kelly, if there ultimately isn't a Mountain West Conference tournament. So now's the time to build that resume.
Yeah, certainly. And boy, some projections, Jerry Palm this week had four Mountain West teams making. He had Boise State, Utah State, Colorado State, and San Diego State all in his 68-team field. So, and we're seeing three is becoming a fairly common thing among the different people that put out bracket projections. So certainly conference tournaments are part of that, but you want the strongest resume you can before the conference tournament. You really don't want to go into that conference tournament knowing that, you've got to win the automatic, win the automatic, or get yourself to the title game to get those two more quality wins or whatever. Everything you can do to build your resume before you get there, especially with all the extra uncertainty the COVID situation has created. You might go into that conference tournament and all of a sudden your best player might be quarantined and not be able to participate. So you really, really want to build as strong a resume before then as you possibly can.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, well, Kelly, before we wrap up here, do you see Boise State saying, all right, David Roddy just destroyed us offensively, on the glass, defensively. This guy dominated. Do you see the Broncos really coming out with a completely different game plan, saying, hey, Isaiah Stevens might get it going, somebody else might get it going, but we are not going to let David Roddy get it going tonight?
I almost think they have to. They just can't let a guy do what he did to them the other night again and have any hope of winning. So yes, I think it's going to count. The other players on Colorado State's team are going to make the difference tonight. David Roddy, I think, is going to face a lot of double teams, a lot of traps, a lot of, help defense, things like that. I think it's going to be hard for him to operate harder on both ends of the floor. I think they're going to try harder to make sure they keep, box him out on rebounds too. So I think this game is going to rely more on those other pieces that Colorado State has. But again, we talked about at the beginning, they have a lot of other pieces, and that's big. Even if David Roddy is getting ganged up on and Isaiah Stevens is having an off night, there's still three, four other Rams that can light it up and pick up the slack scoring-wise. And then if the whole team plays the kind of defense that it's capable of and that we've started seeing a little bit more of for better, longer stretches of games, I think the Rams do have a chance to get what would be a huge sweep of Boise State.
Yeah, it should be a fun one tonight, Kelly, a late one. But I think we're kind of getting used to that now. So it'll be interesting. And like you said, if the Rams can find a way to do it, it is going to mean a big, big thing, not just for Colorado State, but really for their big shot at getting that at-large bid. And boy, wouldn't Rams fans go nuts at that point? Kelly, appreciate you as always, my friend.
All right, take care.
All right, man. Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. I'm buying into it. I'm kind of starting to think that I'm starting to think they could do it. Colfax, check this out. Let's see. Okay, I want to read this to you. There's a drinking game out there for tonight's CSU game. Whenever the national media covers the Rams, it's always kind of funny because they just beat little stories to death. So here's a drinking game. An announcer references David Roddy's high school football career. You got to take a drink. Well, I did that. And in fact, I asked him questions about that yesterday. So technically, you should be drinking right now.
I'm drunk.
An announcer mentions that Adam Thistlewood was a CU fan growing up. An announcer mentions that Thistlewood, Kendall Moore were Drake commits. An announcer references Drake or Furman, which is where Nico Medved was from coaching. Announcer references Tanjay's game winner versus San Diego State. Announcer mentions that CSU has no seniors. That's a good one. That one they definitely talk about. Coach Thorson is heard yelling, fire, fire. A charge gets called. CSU makes a three. Someone dunks. Isaiah Stevens scores in transition. Here's the finish your drink. Finish your drink if David Roddy gets called for a charge that shouldn't have been called. Yeah, they called this wacky charge the other night against Roddy. I don't even know what they were looking at. Nico Medved gets a technical foul. He gets after it, but I never see him get texts, right? And a successful alley-oop. Haven't quite seen that with CSU. James Moore hits a three. So there you go. You get a little something for your Friday night, Colfax.
Careful with that one. That sounds dangerous.
They're definitely going to mention the David Roddy football thing and the no seniors. Like, and again, I know broadcasters beat things to death, but those are like legitimate things to talk about.
Well, they bring up the track and field, though.
See? You're only going to get that kind of deep dive here on the show. He threw the shot put and discus, and he was damn good at that, too. Unfortunately, there's not like a career. I mean, there's Olympics and stuff, but, you know, chances of that. But he was good at that, too. He was a three-athlete kind of guy. 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We'll have Drew Kreisman on at the top of the hour. Talk about the Rocky situation with Nolan Arenado. Where did it all go wrong? Will we ever know when it started? Like, what happened? And, you know, obviously we know they didn't build around him. They couldn't, whatever. But was there just a moment when it was like, this is a dead end here? 10 minutes till the top of the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Follow your UNC Bears all the way to March on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Just 5 minutes until the top of the hour. We have two interviews coming up in the second hour. Drew Kreisman from DNVR Rockies, as well as Cody Rourke from Pro Football Network joining us. Love talking to Cody. Got a break into all things football. Am I crazy? I'm not flip-flopping on Drew Lock. I still don't think Drew Lock's the guy. But I'm just not there anymore. I think three first-round picks is just simply too much. I think that you're going to see guys overpay for Matt Stafford. I think you're going to see guys overpay for Deshaun Watson. And I don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, but and Matt Stafford's going to require a first-round pick. He's 33. He's going to be 33 years old. I know he's got like 5 years left. But are you really a Matt Stafford away? Now, again, Deshaun Watson, I'll admit, changes everything. But are you a Matt Stafford away from competing with Patrick Mahomes? You might be a Deshaun Watson away, but three first-round picks, I mean, you're mortgaging your future. And here's the other thing I don't know that everyone's talking about. I get that Houston's a train wreck. The Broncos have been a train wreck for 5 years. Who's to say that Deshaun Watson comes in? There's no owner for the Broncos, folks. There's no clear direction at ownership. Who's to say that Deshaun Watson comes to Denver and in 2 to 3 years is happy here? I mean, just signed that contract was at the beginning of last season. So I think that's another thing to think about. And again, I know Houston was an absolute train wreck, but I'm just not there. Three first round picks. Now, if you said number nine and a second rounder, maybe two second rounders. Okay. But three first round picks. And I know the draft is a crapshoot, but I'm going to put money on it. If you give George Payton, everybody wanted this guy, if you give him three first-round picks in the next 3 years, he's going to land big time on one of them, right? Otherwise, why'd you hire him? He believes in building through the draft. Let him work his magic. That's what you hired him for. Second hour coming up next.